Thank you, Rachel. Beautiful song. Turn your Bibles, please, to Psalms chapter number 26. Psalms chapter number 26. This morning, we are not going to be deeply theological. We're just going to kind of walk through the Word of God and see what the Bible has to say about Thanksgiving. Not the holiday. The actual word of Thanksgiving. Wednesday night, we dealt with some of the history of Thanksgiving, both in our country, as well as looking back at some Jewish feasts and the idea of Thanksgiving. 400 years ago, November of 1620, a group of people signed a document. And the document began like this: "In the name of God, amen." And then they proceeded to write out what was a fairly simple document known as the Mayflower Compact. It is on this document that even the United States government is built. In other words, there's a lot more added to it, obviously, for our Constitution and so forth. But some of the premises that were set out in that document were important. 1 year later, half the people and crew dead. They gathered in the New World for their very first Thanksgiving. 400 years ago, the Mayflower Compact. Psalms 26 and verse 7 says, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." The actual word thanksgiving is used 27 times in our English Bible. The word thanksgiving in the Old Testament gives the idea of it involves both praise, confession, songs of worship, choir, thank offerings or sacrifice of praise. Its root word means to laud or to praise, to confess the name of God. In addition to thanksgiving, this word is translated praise, thanks, thank offerings, and confession. In the New Testament, the word thankfulness or giving of thanks, its root word carries the idea of a mindful of favors, grateful, thankful. In addition to thanksgiving, it's translated as thanks or thank or thankfulness. Paul Chappell, in a daily devotional guide that he writes, I actually added this to my message this morning in today's reading. He says this: "Thanksgiving requires that we set aside our pride and our desire to take credit for what we have, and that we acknowledge the goodness of God in providing for us." The root of thanksgiving: acknowledging that it is God which works in us and has provided everything that we have. And so this morning, I'd like for us just to quickly look through the idea of thanksgiving in the Word of God. We're not going to camp on a lot of stuff or whatever, just going to wet your whistle a little bit. And I want us to see this morning that thanksgiving can be an event. We're going to have Thanksgiving, quote unquote, this week. But it must be a way of life. It shouldn't just be a one-time act, if you will, in this particular week. Now, by the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's important for us to set aside time to thank God for His provision. But if we just use Thursday as a day to thank God and forget Him the rest of the year, that's not a good thing, okay? So we're just going to move through these quickly. They're not alliterated. They're not anything. We're just going to walk through the Word of God this morning. So let's look at that. Number one, thanksgiving was a part of the sacrificial system. In Leviticus chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, it says, "If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil." He gives all the things. So in other words, part of the sacrificial system of Israel was they were to offer it with thanksgiving. It was a thanksgiving offering. In verse 15 of that same passage, it says, "In the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered." Leviticus 22 and verse 29 says, "And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Just because you want to. Psalms 107 and verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalms 116 and verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. It's interesting, in multiple passages of Scripture, it said that this was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Can I ask you, does your thanksgiving include sacrifice? In other words, are we just thankful for what God has done for us, or does that actually flow out in what we do for Him? It should, in a genuine thanksgiving. But number two, thanksgiving was a part of prayer lives. Again, we see this in a number of places in Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 17. Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zebdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And he gives a couple of other men that were involved with this, the thanksgiving of prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. So as we pray, God says we're to approach the very prayer itself with thanksgiving. That praise, that adoration for who God is and for what He's done in our lives and hearts. When you pray, are you thankful? Are you thankful? Have you communicated that to God? It's not just something, we're going to see this as we go along here. It's not just a heart attitude. Though it is a heart attitude. It's a heart attitude that's going to come out in all kinds of other ways. That leads to number three. It was a part of singing. It was a part of singing. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 8. Moreover, the Levites, and it gives a whole bunch of them there, which was over the thanksgiving. So they actually had people that were a part of the singing process. Their point was to sing songs of thanksgiving. This is a literal translation. We could say he was offering the songs of praise to our God. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 46 says, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. It's interesting to study some of these things all the way back in Israel's history. They actually appointed them to sing. And one of their appointments was to sing praise and thanksgiving to our God. Psalms chapter 69 and verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalms 147 and verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. So our music service should be a part of thanksgiving. We are to thank God for what he has done. Is our song filled with thanksgiving? Number four, and this one's pretty obvious, it should be vocal. You can't really sing in the congregation without it being vocal, but Psalms 26 and verse 7, the passage we started with, it says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. The voice of thanksgiving. In other words, it's not good enough for us to just have the heart attitude. Well, I'm grateful all the time. God says, I want you to actually publish that to people. I want you to actually tell people what you're thankful for. One of the things that we do on Tuesday night is we have a praise time where we thank God because God's told us to do that. We ought to be grateful for Him. Thanksgiving should be a heart attitude, but it should also be expressed vocally to others around us. Number five. Thanksgiving should be offered to God, not just to people around us. And it's okay to be thankful for our family or to thankful for some of those things, but it's specifically to be offered to God. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. In other words, do you regularly offer to God thankfulness for not only what he has done, but who he is? I'm grateful for all the things that God has done. And all of us could list huge amounts of those. And that's wonderful. But we have enough to be thankful for God for who He is, regardless of what He does. What an amazing God we serve. Number six, it should be a precursor to approaching God. You know this passage of Scripture, several of these anyway. Psalms 95 and verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Psalms 100 and verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Have you ever had someone walk into a room and just start talking to you before they ever saw what you were doing? Or before you were ever in the middle of anything or whatever? All of you have probably had that happen. All of you have probably done that before, right? Sometimes we, if you will, now please hear me, sometimes we barge into the presence of God and just begin to, quote-unquote, demand of Him what He is and isn't going to do. But God says when we enter before Him, we ought to enter before Him with thanksgiving. Yes, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. I understand that. But when we enter His presence, do we do so with a thankful heart? How do we enter God's presence? And is it okay if God doesn't answer your prayer specifically how you prayed it? I can just tell you something. It really didn't matter if you're okay or not, right? God sometimes does not answer our prayer the way we want Him to answer it. But it's okay to walk in and say, God, this is what I would love for You to do in this situation, but I'm thankful that You know best. There's been times I've prayed for something, and I'm really glad God didn't give it to me. Not the way I wanted it. It would have been a disaster. Number seven, it's a recognition of God's goodness. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few, and I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. We could look at the context of some of these referring to the millennial time period. I understand that, but the point is, God's going to give us thanksgiving. In other words, one of the things that will be wonderful about us being perfect is that we're going to have a thankful heart all the time. A thankful heart is a heart that recognizes goodness outside of us. It's Him that we should be grateful for. Number eight, thanksgiving should be joyful. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few, and I'll also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Just read that verse again. But notice what it says, and the voice of them that make merry. Wednesday night, if some of you were in children's ministries or whatever, we talked about the Feast of Sukkot and some of the other things that's connected to that. And some of these feasts were absolutely celebratory feasts. They were joyous occasions, sometimes lasting multiple days, 3 days, 7 days, 8 days in some cases for some of these feasts. And some of it's referred to the Feast of Ingathering, and I'm not going to go over all that message again. But the point was, they were to thank God for His bounty, and it was to be a joyful occasion. I want you to think back 399 years ago. Do you think those pilgrims that gathered for that, what we would call the first Thanksgiving, do you think it was a joyful occasion? Matter of fact, when you read some of the documented history from that, not only was it joyful for what God had brought them through, but it was clearly a recognizing the sovereignty and provision of Almighty God. Amazing. It should be a joyful time. A grumbling attitude mixed with a word of thanksgiving doesn't mesh, does it? How's your attitude? Right now, most people in America need an attitude check. Right? Us included. It doesn't take you long to watch a little bit of news and get all kinds of different stories about it and da-da-da-da before you're like, wow. And you can, if you're not careful, you can get to be grumbling about all that. But we still, indeed, in this country, as much of, if you want to call a mess that we're in, and all that's happening today, we still have much to be thankful for God for. Number 9, Thanksgiving can be about submission. Can be about submission. And we're going to jump in the middle of a story here, but it's important to tell this story. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Now, I want you to think for me the context in a minute. Where was that prayer prayed? It was in the belly of the whale, the fish, wasn't it? And what did? How long did it take him to get to this prayer? He was in there 3 days. Now, we don't know all that was happening there. I'm personally convinced that Jonah so bad didn't want to obey God, he'd rather die. I'm not adding to Scripture, so please understand this is an opinion here. But I think after 3 days, Jonah thought, "You're not going to kill me, are you? I'm just going to sit right here, and you're going to keep me alive until I submit to you." I don't know that it happened that way. But it took him a while to figure out, okay, God, all right, I'm going to offer thanksgiving. Well, what did Jonah have to be thankful for? Well, he could be alive. Was he thankful for the mission that God had given him? Had he changed his attitude about the people he was supposed to go preach to? Nope. Because he preaches to them and sits outside the city waiting for God to destroy them. So thanksgiving sometimes is about submission to God. Anybody in this room ever had a situation that you had chosen to be different? Every person in this room would have. But have we stood back and said, okay, God, I'm going to offer to you thanksgiving for this? Wait a minute, Pastor. That's kind of crazy there. It goes back to whether or not we believe that God is sovereign, doesn't it? Is God really in control? Does he really know what he's doing? Does he take even the bad things that happen in our life, can he work that for his good? Do you think that in the prison in Egypt, Joseph still thought that God was good and sovereign? I can tell you ultimately he did. But he would not be human if he didn't think, God, this sure is a strange way to get me to the palace. But when he had the opportunity to talk about himself, he didn't talk about himself, he talked about his God. Oh, Pharaoh, I can't interpret the dream for you, but I know God and he can. It's about submission. Thankfulness recognizes the sovereignty of our God. And have you acknowledged that in your life? Have you acknowledged that God really does control things? Because that's really what sovereignty means. We're sometimes scared of that word. It means that God's in control. And do we believe that? You better. It's in the Word of God. God is in control. And we can trust Him, though it doesn't always go like we want it to go. Number 10, thanksgiving brings glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Wow. When we have a thankful heart, even in the midst of difficult days, and we have a thankfulness about us through the process, then people ultimately give glory to our God. I'm currently listening to a book on audiobooks. It's kind of weird how I even discovered it. I have the audio app, but I hardly ever do that. And a week ago Friday, my truck broke down and left me on the side of the road, which is not the greatest place to be. And waiting, and I thought, man, I don't even have my book to read. I don't have anything. I thought, oh, I wonder if I have something in audio. I'm like, I don't have anything in audio. And opened it up, and sure enough, there was a free book there I didn't even know about. I love how God works. It is a phenomenal book. Every time I get a chance to start listening to it, And I don't remember the exact title of it, but it's basically When God Writes Your Story. And it's going through not only biblical passages of Scripture, but individual people's lives who've had tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, and them recognizing that God is sovereign and that God can bring glory to their lives, and they're just going to thank Him through the process. Does our thanksgiving cause people to glorify God? Number 11, thanksgiving is connected to our generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. This word bountifulness means not self-seeking, an openness of heart manifesting itself through generosity. In other words, when we're truly thankful, we're going to give. You know the passage there in 2 Corinthians. It's primarily talking about that. So it could be that our lack of thankfulness is impacting our giving. I heard someone say one time, and I think it's a true statement, you can tell the health of a church by what they do with their pocketbooks. And many times that's true. Number 12, thanksgiving is a reflection of our growth. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 says this, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, as we grow in the Lord, as we allow the truth of God's word to take hold of us, it will naturally result in us being thankful. And we're going to abound in thanksgiving. It's not like we have to squeeze out of us. We're going to be abounding in it. I'm reading the book of Ephesians right now for my devotions, and I try to read through it every day, and it's just so rich. Every day, new truth, new truth, new truth. And yesterday I was just overrun, if you will, by the thought that God, in His extravagance, is to give to us. Beyond what we can think, say, well beyond that. And I looked up some of the words in there. It's basically superlative after superlative after superlative. What a gracious God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4 in a comparative list says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. A thankful heart is a growing heart. So what does our thankfulness say about our growth? Number 13. Thanksgiving can help put relationships in perspective. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for most men. Is that what the text of Scripture says? Nope. It says be made for all men. Oh, I don't know that in this passage all means all. Yes, it does. In other words, not only are we supposed to pray for them, but we're supposed to give thanks for them. That's something we don't always consciously do. We many of us in this room, don't have a problem with giving thanks for people who treat us fairly. We don't have a problem with giving thanks to people who maybe give abundantly to us or someone did good to us. But when's the last time you thanked God specifically for Governor Cooper? If you don't know who he is, he's our governor. You're supposed to be praying for him, by the way. Well, some of you South Carolinians, he's not your governor, but the point is the same. Governor McMaster then. But do you see the point? And the truth is, I find myself not being as grateful. It puts relationships in perspective when God says we're to thank God for them. Do you thank God for all men? Number 14, it should be part of our eating. We're going to do a little bit of that this week, I think. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Of course, we know the whole conflict with the Jewish dietary laws and so forth. And God says, look, one of the things that signals a cult is that they forbid certain types of meat. And God said, look, every meat can be received if it was received with thanksgiving. So that's one of the reasons we pray for our food. God, thank you for providing this for us. Are you thankful for the food that God has provided? That's a little bit easier when you have a steak and a baked potato, and a little bit harder when you have a spinach salad, right? But God says we're to be thankful. You're like, well, Pastor, it actually says to be thankful for meat, but I... Okay. Number 15. Thankfulness is going to be in heaven. It's going to be in heaven. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Are you practicing for heaven? Now, do you get the point of Scripture? Almost from the beginning of Scripture to the end of Scripture, in heaven, in the millennial kingdom, and on earth currently, we're supposed to have an attitude of thanksgiving all the time. You think God wants us to be thankful people? It's throughout Scripture. And by the way, we didn't touch on the idea of thankfulness or thanks, but there's a whole bunch of Scriptures that connect to those. I read part of this on Wednesday night, but it bears repeating. Edward Winslow, one of the pilgrims, in a letter to a friend in England, wrote about the first Thanksgiving, November 1621, quote, and God be praised, we had a good increase. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling, F-O-W-L-I-N-G. They didn't get it Wednesday night either. That so we might, after a special manner, rejoice together. These things I thought good to let you understand, that you might on our behalf give God thanks, who had dealt so favorably with us. When you think about that paragraph, and then you know their history, not only a perilous voyage, but put out in the quote-unquote wrong location, lived on ships for the winter months, half of the people who started the voyage died. No single family was intact at this first Thanksgiving, not one. Everyone had members of their family die. And yet they could come together and say, we thank God. He's dealt bountifully with us. Indeed, we can as well. This week, specifically, as we enjoy, but also year-round, may we have a thankful heart. It's what God wants us to do. Not just because it's a holiday on a calendar. You ought to go and look up Thanksgiving proclamations from former presidents. I'm not talking about the last 40 or 50 years. I'm talking about go back further. And watch how it is loaded with biblical truth in those Thanksgiving proclamations. Father, we are thankful to you. We're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for your bounty. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful that we get to meet together here today. We're thankful that you've so far preserved our people through the pandemic. We're thankful that in the midst of it, when other churches are really suffering, you've abundantly blessed us financially. We're thankful that through this, we're going to be able to add some missionaries. We're thankful that we have a copy of God's Word. We're thankful that we can praise you through song. And Lord, there is so much more. May we, individually and as a church family, have a thankful spirit. And may it be proclaimed in our voice, in our singing, in all kinds of ways. And we'll thank you. Would you quietly stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed? Well, how's your attitude? Do you have an attitude of thanksgiving? Have you taken the time to actually thank God? Is this week going to be about family? Nothing wrong with that. About football and relaxation? Nothing wrong with that. Is it going to be a time where we get to just enjoy some of the best food around? There's nothing wrong with those things. But will you take the time to actually be thankful for who God is and for what he's done? They're going to begin to play if God's spoken to your heart. Would you come and just say, God, I really haven't been as thankful as I should be. Would you help me to have a thankful attitude? And would you help that to come out in my singing, in my voice, in other areas? As they're playing the chorus, would you look at 109 if you need it? I'd like for us to finish our service today rather than a prayer to sing a song of thankfulness of how great our God is. I want us to sing verses 1 and 3. Brother Steve will lead us when they get done with the chorus, and then we'll be dismissed.
Great is thy faithfulness. 109.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine omnipresence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.